Hello, and welcome. You noticed things started off a little bit differently today, and I'm not even attempting to do what we normally do, because this is Monday when we recorded this. Of course, you're going to be hearing it on Thursday, but I was told last night that not only someone I love, like my own flesh and blood, she was a sister to me. I call her that, and I mean it every time I've said it. But a host of this show, the person, the very reason that I am in the paranormal, Star Anderson passed away Sunday morning. And I'm apologizing right up front, because this is not going to be an easy episode for me or for Michael, because beside all of the paranormal stuff and the show stuff, the fact of it is, Star Anderson, she was our friend. We love her. And she's gone. You know, she was young. And there's no rhyme or no reason. There's nothing. You can't point your finger and say it was this or it was that. It's just, she's not there. And we had planned, of course, some other things, but all of that, you know, you can't do it. It's just, you know, for me, like I said, she is the very reason I'm even here doing this.
She's even the reason we know each other, because we wouldn't have met each other if it hadn't been for her.
No, Star was your friend before, and I was Star's friend, and then we were when me and her decided to form our own group and to do the Night Stalker and Cape Fear Paranormal Research Group. Star, I remember her telling me, you got to talk to Michael, because he knows everything. That's Norris. He knows everything. You two will, the way you both of your brains work, you'll be perfect, and that's what we have to do. And of course, for the people that have been listening from the beginning, they know, they realize that you were the first guest for God. Only guest for two. Yeah. Because really, when we started this, neither Star nor myself wanted to be what we are with it. You know, I hosted it originally. Then she took over, and she had unparalleled success in it. I was actually looking over, because I changed the Night Stalker Facebook page picture is now picture Star, and of course in her memory and her honor. And I was looking over her guests from 2012, before she had to take a break of this, and we're talking almost every member of Ghost Adventures. Ghost Hunters. The Ghost Adventures crew, you know, just person after person after person, the biggest names in the paranormal, she had them on this. She talked to them. She put her people out. She got them in, and you know, she loved doing this. Getting her to do it was actually, I think it took me getting pneumonia to get her to agree to do this. She did not want to host it. She did not want to be, because at the time when it first started, we did a live video every week, and she did not want anything to do with a live video. She did not, you know, this was before the podcasting thing got huge, although it was her idea. She's like, well, what about podcasting? And I was like, I don't think it would work out for what we're doing. But she actually, so I got pneumonia, and I couldn't, literally physically could not do this. And instead of disappointing the fans, she took over hosting, and she never looked back. And she did an amazing job, because she truly loved this. we joked that this was our baby, because the Night Stalker was created sitting in her living room. And she took care of it. She nurtured it. She grew it. It turned into this huge thing. But, and like I said, I know I'm kind of rambly because words can't describe what I'm feeling right now. I really can't put it into words. For a person who usually never shuts up, I have nothing to say. Because all I could say is, you know, I don't hurt because I'm numb.
It's really just, like I told you last night, I don't have any words. What I found out, because you told me via text on Facebook, because you saw it, and then you told me, and I was like, what? And then you called me and told me, and I just, you know, we talked a little bit before with her. She was on the podcast with us, and then I hadn't seen her in a good while. The last time I saw her, we actually did an investigation together. She came down to where I live, and we went out and investigated at Adelaide, where I've been before. And, you know, matter of fact, I was just talking yesterday to a friend of mine about when we go up that way again, we got to take her to lunch. That was just yesterday morning or yesterday afternoon. We planned on messaging and having her meet us for lunch. You know, didn't know, of course, at the time that she'd already passed, and that it just leaves a hole, you know? And when you think of all the people that you know that you wouldn't have known them if it hadn't been for her, because there's a bunch of them, not just you.
Oh, God, yeah.
You know, there's this whole group of people that I wouldn't have known.
Yeah. I mean, I have you. I have another person that I met through her that I became extraordinarily close with. We've kind of lost touch since I moved here. But it's just, you know, life. We keep in touch through Facebook, but we haven't really, like we were talking, I called her last night. Her name's Jenny, and I called her last night to tell her. Because basically, when she passed away, they weren't exactly sure who to contact to, like, bring in, to get everybody in together and to get the word out. Because they were, you know, in this day and age, we fight against the social media. And they, you know, everyone was trying to get in touch with people before it got out that she had gone, and I was, you know, I was attempting to get in touch with everyone and that's why one of her friends, or one of our friends, I know him as well, but he messaged me and told me, and he was like, you know, where do we go? Where do we start? And I started going through and calling everybody and messaging everyone that I know, hey, I need to talk to you, you know, because it's not something... I know I sent you the message because I literally had to.
Yeah, I understand.
I mean, I'm sitting there on the couch with my wife. We're watching, I think it's MasterChef Junior or something. And I get my phone goes off and I look down. I was playing a game on my phone and I look down and I've got this white circle. The picture of the person hadn't come up. So I'm like, well, who is this messaging me? And I hit the buds when I read it. And I thought it was a joke. You know, I was like, I'd want to kill him, but I would have preferred it to have been a joke. And it's just to sitting there looking at that. And I, it's like I said, I had to get it out. And yeah. I remember I told my wife and I just looked at her. I was like, my God, start at. And she looked at me, and she was in shock herself. She's like, what do you mean? You know, it was like, no, because I was just talking to her the day before. Me, her, and another member of the Night Stalker family, Deborah, we were all sitting and talking about a case I'm working. And Star was so happy because she was like, it's like the old days again. The Night Stalkers are together because we were all chatting and working on this case. And it was like the old times again. And then the next morning, she's gone. You know, and that's the hardest thing to realize and to deal with. You know, it wasn't even 12 hours. Because it was late where I was at. We were going to the late hours. And it's just, you say goodnight and you assume there's going to be a tomorrow. And like you always say, assumption is the mother of all fuck-ups.
Yeah.
And that's exactly it. We always assume there's going to be a tomorrow. Except in this case, tomorrow never came. And I really, you know, like I said, I'm kind of numb. I don't know what to think and I don't know what to feel. And I know we needed to put something out for her, because, like I said at the beginning of this, Star loved this show. She loved being the Night Stalker. She loved the fans. You can look at her friends list and person after person after person after person were from this, because she genuinely loved it. And that's the way Star was. I put a post up on Facebook last night. And I told her she was full of love and full of light. And that's exactly what she was. She had a way of drawing you into her. You couldn't be around her for a few minutes until you loved her.
Oh, and she loved a good Facebook rant.
She always, that gave her purpose. That she did. She had that sassy attitude. You know, she always loved that. The world is a little less without her in it. That's really all there is to it. Well, our plans for it are going to be that, for this week, we're going to rebroadcast the reunion of the Night Stalkers. It was actually the last time Michael and myself were on with Star. And it was one of the best times we had. And our current plan is we'll get back to business as usual next week, because that's the way she would want it. And hopefully what I'm going to try to do and what I'm going to try to organize is a memorial show for her. And I'm going to try to get everybody I can, all of the people that were involved in the Night Stalker and anyone, any past guest, any friend, we want you all to come on and share some of your memories and some of the stuff that you and Star had done, or just memories, and try to laugh. And we will, of course, be bringing that as more of that develops. I actually just came up with that one, so I don't know when or how that one's going to happen, but I will work something out with that. Is there anything you want to add?
I can't. Not right now. I think you pretty much covered it. We're not doing too good here today, so.
No, it hasn't even been Well, it's actually just about been 12 hours now since I found out. It was about 9 o'clock last night. All right. Well, then I will be, like I said, I'm going to be replaying the reunion of the Night Stalkers for Star. And we'll miss her.
Welcome to the Paranormal Night Stalker. I am your host, Joel Walling. With me, as always, a co-host, Michael Smith. And I guess today, instead of calling her a guest, I would say co-host, Star Anderson. Because she had taken over hosting. She's been part of the Night Stalker from the beginning. Imagine, matter of fact, the Night Stalker was actually created sitting in her living room with me screaming at a computer and cats helping. If I remember right, we had two of them.
Yeah. Two orange cats that used to drape across you.
Yep. My little minion.
Yeah, they were actually part of the website, too. You made little
cages. Yeah, I did little memes of the cats. Yeah. When we were building the website, I did memes of the cats doing stuff on the site.
You took a picture of a hard hat I had and then shrunk it down and stuck it on top of the cat's heads.
Yeah, I had forgotten all about that.
I probably have those pictures somewhere on one of my little jump drives.
Probably. So, first, want to get another... Actually, this is our second recording because for some reason I've got some gremlins in my system right now. But one, we're having... they're upgrading our lines here, so we're having a little bit of a connection issue. You may hear things drop out periodically. Another thing is... The reason we're doing the second recording is because my recording program decided to crash on me in the middle of the recording of the first one. So trying to go back over what we had covered, one of the reasons, besides the fact that it's actually been probably 4 or 5 years since Star and I have talked, which is still something that's kind of crazy to me.
We talk on Facebook all the time.
Oh, yeah, we chat back and forth on Facebook, but I mean actual verbal communication, I guess you'd say. The other thing is we were wanting to kind of clear out, I guess you'd say, clear the air about some things. And one of them is that I have gotten a lot of questions that was there a falling out between us? Was there bad feelings and bad blood? You know, what happened with everything? And I kind of wanted to clear the air on that because as far as it goes with me, nothing to do on this would ever create bad blood between me and Star. We actually have each other listed on Facebook as siblings because that is our relationship. That's how we feel about each other. And nothing to do with this show would ever create bad feelings or nothing to do with any of this was ever as important as the relationship me and Star have. So, no, we never had any problems. We just both moved away from what we were doing at that time. I've happened to move back to it and... That's what, you know, we were kind of wanting to bring everybody up to date and let everyone know what was going on.
Well, yeah, I was always planning on going back to it. In fact, you know, one of my things is putting it on the road and traveling. And I'm getting closer to that goal. But I live at home without internet. So it's like I'm at a friend's house today for this call. It's hard to keep up with everything with a cell phone.
Well, speaking of cell phones, you'll be glad to know that I finally joined the ranks of everybody else. Mark gave me his old cell phone when he bought a new one, so I actually have a cell phone now.
Is it a smart one at that, right?
No, it's dumber than a bag of dirt. It really is. I don't know why they call it a smartphone, because it is not a smartphone.
But, mine's smarter than me, and I don't know how to use half.
But I have to tell you, this is really quite funny. When he bought his new one... You have to call a toll-free number to activate your phone. But you can't activate your phone because your phone's sitting there with the back off of it because you're looking at the SIM card. So you can't use it. Well, I had a cell phone that I bought, and all it did was make phone calls. It had big numbers because I'm about half blind. You know, I paid $6 for it. $6. And then I bought airtime. It's like a track phone or whatever. And Mark made fun of my little old lady phone because all it did was make phone calls and had big numbers on it. Well, that's all right. You make fun all you want. So he buys his smartphone that's his, and he can't use it because it's in pieces in his lap. And he has to make a phone call. So what does he make a phone call on? My old lady phone with the big phone numbers. Otherwise, his phone wouldn't have been activated. So, you know,
Yeah, it's like, hey, you gotta have the dumb phone to help the smartphone.
Yeah, my little old phone, you know, my $6 phone saved the day. But mostly all I do on the smartphone is I chat with Joe on Facebook and play Galaxy Bowling, and that's about all I do on it.
I might have people call me, but I don't answer the phone because where I live at, cell phone is crappy. I can get online with it, and I can get text messages. And the phone will ring when somebody calls in, but I don't answer it because it will just drop. I have to, like, walk out to the road and halfway down it, you know, about a half a mile.
You know, that's a lot of, like, the reception here. You remember those old Verizon commercials, Can You Hear Me Now?
Yeah.
That's the way it looks sometimes here in the village when there's nobody that's like it's cloudy or it's something like that. Everyone's running around with their phone in the air, waving it around. Can you hear me now? Damn. Can you hear me now? Damn. It's trying to find a spot where you get reception. There's
one of my old roommates
to where we're at. We literally had a spot on a window. And when I say a spot, it's like 6 inches tall by 7 inches wide that got cell phone service. If you moved it 7.5 inches, you lost service. It was literally that one spot got a clear signal.
I had one of my roommates, he had an iPhone with an expensive service plan and all that. His phone did not work at all out there where I live. And we were out on the porch talking, the porch light goes off. We can't get the light bulb out to change it. So he turns the lamp on his phone on, and he sits the phone in that drip rail that's above the door. All of a sudden, his phone starts ringing. And he's like, so that's where I need to go to make a call, the roof.
Oh, God. That's part of living when you live out.
Yeah. I'm about 13 miles from Wilmington.
Yeah, here I forgot we're recording. And I'm about to go, you just go down the street, take a left, you know, we'll just go on and put your address out on the internet. Don't worry about it.
I live out in Winnebago, but not that part of Winnebago. You know, it's like, Winnebago's a big place. They're not going to find me.
Yeah, well, at least with this one, I wouldn't be too worried about the people who listen to this. If this was the other one we did, I would be worried.
Yeah, we wouldn't even want to go into that. We got some, we went down the rabbit hole, and we got nut jobs, and we got crazy people, and people off their meds, and threatening us, and oh, God.
I think that's why people thought we were all mad at each other, because they did not notice we were still chatting with each other, because I got rid of a lot of people on my Facebook page, because I found out they were only friends with me because they found out that I was the Paranormal Night Stalker.
Yeah.
Being the host of the show and so that's all they wanted to be friends with me for. And they got mad because I wasn't nice on my Facebook page. I get mad when you send me pictures of orbs. I don't like orbs.
Well, yeah. It's like, hey, this is a, you know, this is a private, actually I did this with a host of another show. I friended her, and she had her security settings up to the max, but, you know, and I was like, hey, I completely understand that, because, you know, people have to realize the difference between, like, if they want to send orb pictures or ghost pictures or UFO videos or Bigfoot videos or whatever they want to send like that, if they want to send it to the Night Stalker Facebook page, by all means, go for it. I'll look at them. Huh? That's fine.
And everybody else will look at them.
Yeah, but not to the personal page. You know, there's that difference there. And we were talking about her.
I understand now how these actors and musicians, how they feel sometimes around their fans. Because that was pretty much it. It was like people recognizing me and introducing me as the Paranormal Night Stalker. No, I'm still Star. I do so many other things. The Night Stalker was just a small part.
Oh, speaking of those other things, what is it? You were talking about actually doing a, I guess you'd say, like a traveling Night Stalker show.
Yeah.
What are your ideas behind that?
Well, I just want to go travel and see other places. You know, I've kind of run out of, you know, most of the places we do here in Wilmington, if I do go to investigate, are private homes. And we don't really put the private stuff up on the Night Stalker because you got to hide the clients. You've got to hide their address, you know, and by the time you do all that, there's really nothing you can show except maybe some audio. I want to go see other places. And there's so many people I met as the Night Stalker who have invited me to come out and, you know, research with them, investigate places.
Yeah.
And so my dream is to get a motorhome, you know. I'm starting out just in my van for now, but that's where I want to go.
You know, actually, we kind of talked about that idea.
In the beginning.
Yeah, at the very beginning. So the Night Stalker really snowballed. When we did actually have a falling out with another person, with a group we were with. We're still with the group he left.
Yeah.
Yeah, he left. We are still with the group. Well, yeah. Technically. I don't know if Jason's been doing anything anymore.
No, he's done a couple of things with me. But C-Spot actually is really only being kept alive by me, as in because of, you know, what I'm writing about, the one story that I want to write, that I'm writing about Sweetie, the little girl.
Mm-hmm.
At the downtown bar.
It wasn't the Soapbox, was it?
No.
What was the name of the place?
It was Orton's Pool Hall.
Orton's Pool Hall, that's right.
We did Orton's Pool Hall and Fat Tony's all together, even though now they're owned by two different people. But everything I got was down in the basement bar at Orton's Pool Hall. So it's... Yeah. I want her story out because there's nothing about her. There's stuff about William, you know, or Bill, as he likes to be called sometimes, about him dying in the fire and haunting the place, you know, talking to women all the time.
That's a pretty sweet gig if you can get it for, you know, if you're going to be a ghost.
Yeah. Oh, he's happy there. That's why he...
Yes!
He helped us get rid of the little girl because he knew she did not belong there.
I mean, think about it. You're going to haunt a bar with women in it?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, come on. You get free drinks and there's women there. Why not?
All the sightings.
And a pretty sweet gig for the afterlife.
Their sightings were by women. So
that's like haunting a Victoria's Secret, for God's sake.
So that's the only reason why I keep C-Spot going. We don't do anything as C-Spot. When I investigate now, it's still as, you know, Cape Fear Paranormal Research Group. But when I go on the road, it's just going to be just Paranormal Night Stalker because I'll be traveling across the United States, maybe even going into Canada.
Well, I'll tell you what, if you make it up this far, you know, I don't know of any really places, although there is one place, but I can't really... I haven't talked to the person who owns it or anything that's close to me that I would love to get into, because it's actually the first place I've ever seen a full body apparition. And I was standing there, a little girl walked up beside me, and, you know, it's a child. I look over to acknowledge her, and she giggles and runs behind. And as she starts to run behind something, she just poof, fades away. And I mean, she was as solid as you and me. It was like, you know, so I said, maybe we can do that. And of course, also, we're still working out everything with this podcast. This is a, much like the original show, like I said, it just kind of snowballed in. I mean, we're sitting there and it's like, you know, we should do this and we should do that. And within what, two weeks, we were doing it.
Oh, yeah. Before we even launched the show, we had like... over 1,000 friends on the Paranormal Night Stalker Facebook page. Yeah, I think
we actually had a really good buildup, because we actually crashed the bandwidth from our site at GoDaddy the first night we launched. Had people.
Well, not even just a few hours, less than 6 hours after we launched, we had to reload. Yeah. You had to call them, and they had to go to the next level.
Yeah, I still remember talking to the guy on GoDaddy and him like,
But you don't
I've
have
never seen this with a website launch before.
We only had a couple of pages,
Well, he was also amazed by how much we actually had the content. That was another thing he said, is like the content you have and the amount of space you have. Because we had videos, we had pictures, we had audio, we had everything. I mean, literally, you could go there and you could listen to EVP recordings, you could watch videos, you could look at different pictures we had and taken through investigations. There was just, and this is as I was extending it, making each person have their own page and their own area to be able to talk about what they wanted to talk about, because we were going to have the original idea for the group, the original, or not the group. CFPRG was always going to be separate from the Night Stalker, because the Night Stalker was going to be, or what we had wanted to
worldwide.
Attempt was a worldwide community. This was people just interested in paranormal stuff, investigators, researchers, you know, different groups from different parts of the world. It was going to be your one-stop place. If you needed help, you could message, you could put it up on the Night Stalker. You could be in Timbuktu. We're going to try to have a group from Timbuktu go, hey, we're here to help you. You know, we just, that was our idea. It was a community. I used to call it the Legion, because that's what I was looking for. It was a legion of people that just shared that same idea of trying to move the paranormal field forward, to get communication going, to share ideas, to share evidence, to share everything, and try to move forward into this. Because at the time, we were fighting against the tide trying to do that. I mean, that's... sorry, excuse me. One thing that I really like about now is it seems like the tide's starting to change. But at that time, people would stab you in the back. They would steal from you. They would spend their entire times telling everyone how fake and how full of shit you are.
Yeah.
Remember,
I had that one guest, the first time he was ever on there, he had only been investigating for a few months, had a group of friends. All of a sudden, he's back on there a few months later, and he's billing himself as a demonologist with several years of experience, and his daughter is a psychic medium. His whole team was his family. And then he started complaining. He made his own show, and I actually blocked him. You know, everybody keeps asking me if I ever hear from him. I said, I blocked him. I don't hear anything from him. I don't care about his show. You know, I told him if he wasn't happy with my show, go make your own.
Yeah. You know, that's actually still a major problem right now with the paranormal world. These people that, I'm a demonologist. I read a book once. It's Curious George, you know, or I watch Ghost Hunters. Now I'm a ghost hunter. You know, it's like, no, that's not the way this works. And especially when you're dealing with demons or demonology, I don't like to exactly coin the term demon. I don't like that, because one of the big things with it right now is everything's a demon. I mean, I've had discussion with one guy that believed all spirit activity was demonic.
Oh yeah.
And I'm like, no, you know, how can you believe that? And then I heard basically the breakdown of it as I heard someone else talking, and it's like, you know, well, there's no child spirits, there's no this, there's no that, there's no this, and there's no that, and, you know, only this will work with demons. And it's like, first off, what we know about the paranormal world would fill a very small thimble. What we know for certain would fill a very small thimble. I mean, let's face it. We have not scratched the surface, quite literally, of what really the paranormal world is about or what is out there. We don't know anything about anything.
So, and that's what the Paranormal Night Stalker was supposed to be about.
Exactly. Helping. That's what we always worked for.
I do know that on the 2 years I did the show, I did interview 7 separate demonologists. Each one of them had between, it was like 20 and 40 years of experience each. And on average, they said each one of them said they only had between 5 or 7 true demonic cases in their whole career.
Well, they're very rare.
Yeah.
Thankfully, they're very rare. And speaking as a, because I was baptized, and if you get into this area, you know, talking about the demons and stuff, the demonology or whatever, it's going to run headlong into religion because it kind of has to. It just does. I mean, you can try to keep it out of it, but at some point you're going to have a collision of it. It's going to be there, you know. And speaking as a person who was baptized Catholic, you know, and you never like to talk about politics or religion, but in this case, don't have much choice. You know, to get one approved, there has to be overwhelming evidence of what's going on. That you just don't call up and get one. I mean, they have people come out and do an investigation, and it has to go all the way up through the echelons and get all the way to somebody in Rome or something somewhere, or a bishop someplace, to approve this thing. It's just not a, it's not like a one day deal and we'll come out and do it next week. You know, I mean, and Joe and I really, I'm working on trying to get, if I can get a Catholic exorcist or someone to come on the show to discuss this, because I see a lot of these ghost shows on TV, and a lot of them have a bent where everything that they find is a negative entity, and that really isn't the case so much, and it totally discounts psi, like psychical ability, like PK, like poltergeist and stuff like that. They never talk about those kind of things, which is a whole separate area of study, which is parapsychology. You know, ESP, out-of-body experience, and different things like that that aren't even, aren't that, that are part of the paranormal arena, but are a little separate offshoot, but they're never discussed on these shows. Everything is something negative. And like you said, you get somebody that's been investigating for 6 months and all of a sudden, well, I'm a demonologist. Yeah, well, you run up on one, you're going to be an ex-demonologist. You know?
I don't think, isn't that what June said?
Yeah, I mean,
she's like, if you ever actually, she was talking about a person that did that, like, I've been doing this for, I've been doing this for three or four months, and now I'm the group occult specialist. It's like, you don't even know what you're asking for. If you ever ran head first into one of these, you'd run the other way.
No, because remember, Joe, on one of our first investigations together as Cape Fear Paranormal Research Group, you had something, you thought it was demonic at first when it happened.
Well, I still think it's a very negative energy that was
there.
You
woman.
You don't get hit in the back of the head like I...
She went into the room after we told that woman we weren't going to go in the room, and there were children.
Oh, that was when I was first setting up.
Well, no. Remember
the camera fell over.
Yeah,
I just went back upstairs to reset up the camera that we had. It had fallen over.
You did not announce yourself.
Yeah,
you
still.
Just opened the door, leaned in there, and it was that the old woman's voice saying, "Get out," is what we got on audio. And
we got a lot more than that.
And but at that point, we got "Get out," and then it sounded like smacking a melon.
Well, it was smacking a melon.
It was something popping the back of my big bald head.
I think we had told them that they could play with the equipment. We weren't going to bother them. And then you went in there. And right before that had happened, we got those little girls singing. Remember? They were singing Ring Around the Rosies. Yeah.
But also remember the little girl mimic voice we got.
Yeah.
I have played that over and over again. Everybody that hears that, why are you, what is that? That is creepy. Is that from a movie? Is that, no, I recorded this. Remember the other thing. A protective woman don't go look at 20-year-old girls in showers. And that's why we were originally there.
Yeah.
They kept seeing a guy peek over the shower curtain looking at them in the shower naked.
You know,
a lot more into that than...
I think there were several spirits in that house.
And I was about to say, basically, we could have investigated that for two or three years and probably never gotten.
But as long as she was there, because
still today it had more voices, more sounds, more thumps and bumps and everything. And what was it? A 5-hour recording that we did or something?
Yeah.
Than any recording I've ever heard from any group that I've ever been given.
I think within the first 30 minutes, we had like, what, 3 Class A EVPs? EVP? 3 of them? Class A's? Mm-hmm.
You know, I had all those on disc. And when we had the fire in the condo here, we lost all that. And I wish I had them back because I would love to listen to them and have them to put up for people to hear them. But I lost them all.
Well, I'll have to get my... I'm pretty sure I still have them on one of my jump drives. I see everything.
Yeah, that was one of the things. We always had everything saved.
In multiple places.
Yeah. And I still do that now. One of the things I love the best is this Dropbox thing. Because that actually allows me to save it on my computer, save it in Dropbox, send a copy to to Michael, and save it too. So it's like we've got saved stuff everywhere.
And I saved it all onto an external hard drive, so I've got to save like 3 different spots.
Yeah, ain't no risk of losing something now.
No. I might not know what jump drive I have on. That actually has happened to me.
The computer crashed once. Lost every damn thing on it.
I think that's why I have so many little jump drives, you know. From 1 gig to, I think my biggest one is 32.
Yeah.
Because I work off different computers, too, so it's easier to just take the jump drive back and forth. And then I was always bad on laptops, especially because mine always got used during every investigation. It seemed like mine got haunted.
Well, I actually had one that I bought, and I thought it was a fairly nice one, you know. That thing was like the Hindenburg. It crashed every day. I couldn't get it to work. And I finally was either going to take it outside and have my roommate back over it with the car, or else send it to Joe. So I send it to Joe.
I think you're and also shoot it.
I was going to shoot it.
I handed off one of mine to Joe because it kept in an off position. It would turn itself on. The lid would be closed, and all of a sudden it would light up in there. And Joe said, "Oh, you're not setting it down right." And so I send it to him and did it to him too.
Well, yeah. I sent it to Joe. I mean, I packed the whole thing up, and I mean, it was a nice computer, I thought. I mean, it had a big hard drive and like 8 gigs of RAM, and I mean, it had lots of speed, and it was a decent computer, I thought. And it from the word go, I couldn't make it work. And so I said, no. So I boxed it up, and up to Joe it went.
Which is the one we're recording on right now.
Yeah, and I got my recorder going too. So,
well,
I did want to tell.
First thing I did was
go ahead.
No, I was just saying the first thing I did was found out it had a bad hard drive cluster.
Yeah, it was a cluster, all right. But I don't know what kind.
But I wanted to talk about. We talked about it before your audio crashed.
Yeah.
About the reason why we stopped. Well, I stopped the show when I did. It was, you know, really no warning. Oh, yeah. I had been planning a vacation. And so we were setting up stuff to show reruns and stuff like that so I could have, you know, a month or two off. Because I did this, it started out 1 hour a week and then moved up to 2 hours a week. And we weren't going out looking for guests at this point. Jenny had people contacting her to be on the show. And I would interview anybody in the world of the paranormal. And religion falls under paranormal. Psychic abilities fall under paranormal. You know, it's just not ghosts and spirits and demons. And I had like a couple more shows that were set up for the next couple of weeks before I took my vacation, because I was burning out at this point, you know, 2 years of this. And this guy contacted Jenny, wanted to be on the show. And I am assuming that if you contact someone about being on their show, that you've actually watched the show. You know what kind of show it is. Mine was a live video chat. I had a few questions. I would start out each with each guest, you know, and then we'd start taking questions from the chat room. I had moderators who would make sure I got good questions and not stupid questions, because I refuse to answer, you know, ask stupid questions. Like, I do not care if you wear boxers or briefs. And no, I'm not going to ask the person if they'll marry you, you know, things like that, you know. Had nothing to do with the paranormal. I didn't want to ask it. And I had this guy, he billed himself as a male psychic medium. Well, about a week before his show, he sends Jenny a list of questions, who she passes it on to me, and she passed on the list to Deborah, who was our producer at the time. And it's a list of questions that he wants us to ask him. I'm already a little pissed off because, you know, this was a live internet chat. The chat room asks the questions. And he's wanting these questions asked. And then there, after each question was this number. It's a small number between, you know, 2 and maybe 6 and with a circle around it. Well, Deborah decides to add up all the numbers. All the numbers added up to like 114. We're a 2-hour show, 120 minutes. Each one of those numbers was how many minutes he was going to spend answering the question I ask. One of the questions, because I don't remember all of them, a lot of them were stupid. But the one question that sticks in my mind, even after, you know, all these years, is he asked me, I was to ask him why male psychic mediums are better than female psychic mediums. A lot of my friends snorted at that question because he doesn't know me. There was no way I was ever going to ask that question.
Well, you know, like you said, it's one of the things where he clearly had never watched anything we've ever done, because he would have known that there's no way you would have asked that question, and I would have looked at him and called him, and I would have had some choice words for him, because that is just dumb. I mean, that's all there is to it. And, you know, I see this kind of stuff, or that kind of stuff, rather, more and more coming out, and it just baffles my mind. That's something that we know so little about. There are actually people out there that are, oh, well, you know, girls are not as good as guys with psychic mediums. And if you don't follow Jesus, you don't, you know, and it's like, come on, just.
Yeah, and there's a lot of experts. I'm surprised at the people that call themselves expert. I mean, I've read, you know, a lot of books and did a lot of independent research on my own and went over evidence from other groups and did things. And I would not call myself an expert. I mean, there are things that I know, and there's a whole lot more that I don't know than I know. And I think to call yourself an expert implies a level of knowledge that, frankly, I don't know that's there, because how can you be an expert in a field where everything is theoretical and none of it's proven yet?
Well, so there's no actual applied science in the paranormal field.
No.
I mean, we have things that we think work scientifically, but the fact of it is, we don't know. And everything that we use in the paranormal field was created to do something else. I mean, if you want to chop your hand off, a blender will work fine, but that's not how it was meant to be used.
A prime example of that is the people that say, well, energy cannot be created or destroyed, it only changes form. That's the first law of thermodynamics. But what they don't finish that up with is that's only for a closed system, which a closed system would be an example like a pot with water with a very tight lid over a burner. You know, the heat heats the water up, the water boils into steam, and the steam collects on the lid of the pot. It turns back into water droplets, and they fall back into the pot again. That's a closed system, but the human body is an open system, which means that the energy we create is affected by things outside of the body. When you go outside in the sunlight, if it's 110 degrees outside, you get hot. If you go outside and it's 25 degrees, you lose heat. So you feel cold. So that particular law of the conservation of energy does not apply to the paranormal. It applies fine to a pot of water on your stove, to a closed system, but it does not apply, strictly scientifically speaking, to the body. So you can't use it. But they do. They didn't finish the thought. They took the part they liked and left the rest of it out.
No, that's like that in everything. Yeah. They will always take the part they like.
Yeah, I had one of my guests, I can't remember which one offhand, but he was one of the bigger names in the paranormal field. He had stated that in our lifetime, we are never going to prove the existence of the paranormal. What we are doing is collecting evidence that might be used someday to prove it. But in our lifetime, we're not going to see it.
And I can kind of see that. Well, yeah. You know, we are actually, it was funny, we were talking about this, we were actually talking about upgrading the podcast last night. And I was talking to Michael and I was like, you know, I found one that had a good, I think has a good deal and we're probably going to take it. Where it has 500 hours of storage space. Well, that's like 10 years worth of episodes for us. And I was like, who knows what 10 years later is going to look like? I mean, you know, right now we're kind of, with paranormal research, is kind of in a stalemate. We're trying to use the same methods and the same ideas, the same devices to do the same readings because we're trying to get a repeatable, consistent result from something, because that's the first step in it. We need to have a confirmed, repeatable result, and we've never had that with paranormal, never once. I mean, we have something moving through an EMF field that causes an EMF spike near when you have your EMF detector or your K2 meter. Great. Can it do it again? And then now, if I come in a week later with a K2 meter, is it going to do it again? You know, we have EVP. I'm going to tell you honestly, I go out and I'm doing tests with these cell phone apps. You know, if you look up, like I've said before, I have an iPhone. If you go to the App Store and you look up paranormal apps, you find tons of them. There's the Ghost Hunter Toolbox. There's this, there's that. And I wonder, okay, obviously, you know, I can see the technology moving that way. It's like when we first started out with this. YouTube was pretty big, but it wasn't the juggernaut it is now. Podcasting was pretty much non-existent. I think actually, didn't you bring something up about podcasting? And I was like, I don't know how well it'll work. It seems to only be for Apple.
Yeah, because I wanted to get rid. Wait, we were having trouble with the video. On the video chat, and it's like when you and me, I could not produce the show and get it filming and all that. I had to have someone who was in Minnesota who was doing that because I could not do it and host at the same time. And then I had to have people in the chat rooms and just keeping track of the.
Yeah.
And then
no, there's no way one person can run it all.
Nope.
And I had moved to Canada.
Well, we have the podcast, and there's the two of us, and there are days and neither one of us can handle it. Yesterday being a prime example, yesterday was a complete train wreck for both of us.
Yeah, pretty much. Well, last night, God. And yeah, we were trying to do an interview, and I could not get it to record. It would go for maybe 2 minutes, and then Skype would just drop.
But this podcast, at least you could... At least with the podcast, you can, like, record several interviews and then have enough, just, you know, put them out there once a week or your schedule that you put them out.
Yeah.
It was the video
chat. Oh, yeah,
chat.
Definitely. Podcasting is a lot better.
The video chat.
We actually had more fun doing this.
Yeah, the video chat, you know, I had to... get dressed and set up and worry about it.
I remember a few times you doing your hair and putting on a nice shirt and having pajamas and fuzzy slippers on underneath the desk.
Of course. And then because especially when I knew I had a producer who could set me off to
I remember that
commercial so I could go to the bathroom, you know, and nobody could see me from the waist down.
Yeah, but, well, you know, I can't say a whole lot. I'm sitting here now in moose slippers, so.
At the end, when we weren't doing video at all, we were just doing the live chat. I wouldn't even brush my hair. Nobody saw me.
Wow. Yeah, you know, it's like that's one of the best things about podcasts. I mean, like I said, we started this rather early because this was like it started at a little after 8:30?
My time. 11 o'clock.
I'm on the West Coast. Yeah, it was a little after 11:30 for Michael and Star. Me, I'm sitting here drinking coffee, just waking up. And they're getting ready for lunch.
Yeah, I've already been to the bank and had to get dressed because since I don't have internet at home, I had to put pants on, you know.
Well, the people at the bank frowned at
the podcast.
Yeah.
People at the bank frown if you go with no pants on.
That's very true.
Yeah, they might see a little bit of a downside to that, but
or a backside. You know,
that's one of the perks about podcasting. And you know, even as it sits, I know you have voice recorders, you know, and everything. You can even record something, send it, and get it put in. Like we could do, you know, bi-weekly updates or whatever. Just put it. I can splice it into anything. And that's actually what I was wanting to think about, since you were, like you said, you were talking about doing your traveling and doing the different spots that you've been invited to. And you know, you could always, like I said, just record it on a voice recorder, or since now 99.9% of the places in the world have internet access, you can go get online there and call it through.
Mm-hmm. All I have to do is stop at a Walmart.
Yeah. Go to Starbucks, have a coffee, and record away. Or drop it into some type of Dropbox or something like that. Because that actually, I think it would be really neat. And like I said, I'm still working out things that we're wanting to do with the show. I mean, right now, everything's kind of snowballed quickly. And it's gone from like, me and Michael did the first two episodes. One of them was a half an hour just kind of reintroducing ourselves and everything. The next one we talked about EVP, and I got off on about a 10-15 minute rant, which, you know, that's me. I've always done that.
Yeah, and ask me about orbs. That's
yeah.
I could take up a whole hour.
Both of that. Oh yeah, you know. So we that was the first thing we started getting guests, and like this one that's coming out is June Lundgren, and she did that one was a quick interview. It was like a quick setup and everything, and it was pretty amazing. There's a psychic medium, author, you know. So now, you know, I'm still trying to work out this format in my head, because I had this design, I had this idea, much like I did with the original, but I haven't got it into words yet, you know. That's always been kind of my thing. I get these things in my head, these ideas, and it's like trying to form it into, you know, like I said, I still remember sitting there when you and I were so pissed off at that guy. I mean, we actually had to, we were in the middle of an investigation. Or sorry, not in the middle. We had just started. You and I had to leave.
Oh, yeah.
You and I had to literally leave the building because one of the two of us was probably going to end up hitting
him. Remember, I stayed hidden in that one room that we set up that was Command Central, you know, where all the recorders were and all that?
Yeah.
That little room off to the side? Remember, I wouldn't even come out. They asked me if I wanted to do an EVP session. I said no. We got no video because he would not let us line up the cameras. He said we should just point them in the direction. I got a lot of feet and walls.
Well, Sherry, after you get get situated, you can be our paranormal nomad and do the paranormal nomad segment. Call in and record something, and we can splice you in.
That sounds good.
That's kind of what I was thinking, because I
wouldn't get burned out that way. That's what I think. Original
wouldn't have to be long. You just do whatever you wanted to talk about, 5-10 minutes or whatever, you know.
or something. And
but once we get going, we can fill some time. I mean, we, you know, we've already been going over an hour right now.
Well, this
recording's only been 48 minutes. The other one that died, if you put the two together, we'd have an hour.
Yeah.
You got to remember, when we first started the Paranormal Night Stalker, the show, I did not want to be the host.
Neither one of us did.
We were looking for a bubbly.
Yeah, when we first started, we tried hosting of going through. Nobody showed up.
Or they froze in front of the camera.
And yeah. I was the only guest for the first
couple of shows.
It was almost 2 months.
The very first show we did, we interviewed members. We had all the members of Cape Fear Paranormal Research Group there to introduce them.
Yeah, the members of that time.
Yeah.
Because quickly, four of them dropped?
Yeah.
Yeah, and then it was down to you, me, Michael, and Jenny, and my brother.
And Jason. Jason.
Yeah, Jason would go back and forth between... He was a part of CFPRG, we were a part of C-Spot, and we go back and forth because he's actually one of the founders of C-Spot.
Yeah.
But that's it. We had, at one time, a good 8-9 member group.
Yeah.
And then it was just like, kaboom, nobody should... And we had, I think, 3 hosts at one time. Either they never showed up filming, or when we do a test with them, put a camera on them, and it's just kind of like, and it's like, nope, that don't work. Sorry, you know.
Or remember that one time she showed up so stoned that we couldn't use any.
Yeah.
We were trying to do a commercial.
And that was even like.
That was before the show started. Yeah. We were trying to do a commercial.
That's right. I was doing a teaser ad.
And you couldn't use any because her eyes were so bloodshot and she was so stoned.
Oh, the fun we had.
And then to think we were still getting thousands of views, and this was after like this was in the first few months. We were getting thousands of views. We had people in the chat room, you know, thousands of followers on Facebook. You know, I keep on saying we were the little paranormal show that could.
Oh, and when I did the show with Barry Fitzgerald.
Yeah.
That was when I started. We had to have a second chat room, so I'd had a couple of moderators because I had to have so many moderators in there to keep track of, because I could not keep track of the questions. I mean that.
Oh thing no! By was that just time,
spinning. So I had, and I so I couldn't remember the question, let alone who asked.
Yeah, that time you had a few thousand people in the chat room, and when you're in something like that. If you even try to read a chat room with a few hundred people in it, that chat is moving so quick, it's hard to keep up with it because there's so many people trying to talk at once. And
So I had a couple girls they brought up a second chat room that was just for us three, and they were pulling questions out and who would ask them. And putting them in this other chat room so that I could ask the question.
Yeah, and that's that is actually one thing I have to say. I kind of miss that side of doing the live thing. And we may actually we are, not to expose our business here, but we are thinking about doing a live version for Halloween and trying to get a live chat going with it and. You know, just the stuff that we normally do on the Night Stalker on Halloween, but Halloween themed, I guess you'd say. You know, like an origin of the holiday and, you know, that kind of stuff.
The only problem we have is we don't really know how to do that yet. We haven't figured out how to do it yet, but
I've never really messed with live stream on Facebook.
Yeah, we haven't got there yet, but, you know, we've got some stuff happening. We're, I don't want to give too much away, but we're going to be going across the pond here before too long.
Yeah, actually, I've been emailing with him this morning. If you all ever hear a weird sound in the background, it's going to be one of two things. It's either going to be my dog, Gizmo, walking. We have hardwood floors, and he clicks when he walks. or it's my phone going off. It seems like no matter when I record or what I'm trying to do, my phone goes crazy with people. I know last week we tried to do a recording, and within 10 minutes I had three people messaging me at the same time. And I finally, I think we got 12 minutes recorded, and finally I was like, we got to stop. I can't do both of these because I'm trying to talk, and at the same time I'm trying to answer messages. And so you remember my late night chats when I would message one person thinking I was messaging the other, and then they'd message the other person.
Oh yeah, you messaged me a lot, and I said, okay, I don't think that was meant for me.
Yeah, same with Michael. Michael would be like, I think you're in the wrong chat box. Oh yeah, son of a bitch.
Well, I knew something was wrong when you were talking to your wife, who wasn't your wife at the time, and you said, I love you, and it came to me. I said, well, I love you too, but not like that. And I think maybe you might have said that to the wrong person. I don't know.
I think you sent it to the wrong window here, because I always would have two or three chats open and just going crazy.
He was doing that when we were first starting the Paranormal Night Stalker, and he was in my living room, and all of a sudden I'd get a message, and I'd click it on, and it's him. Why didn't you just tell me? And you're right there. That wasn't for me, was it?
Well, no, there was actually, remember, you were the one that actually busted the, when I got hacked. Don't you remember that?
Yeah.
I was building, it was when we were building the site, and you, it was one of those times, you were like, you messaged the wrong person. I'm like, huh? It's like, well, I'm right here. Why don't you just, and I'm like, I didn't send you anything. And I even turned my computer around and showed you that I had no chats open at that time. Because I remember the message you sent the person. It was not friendly. there were some names used in it. I remember that.
That's me.
But that's what actually got it to where I knew. Yeah, that's when I actually knew, okay, I got hacked.
I'm surprised, actually, between the three of us, we still have a show that's fairly G-rated so far. I mean, we have been known to kind of let it fly and hang out, and you know, I'm surprised that we haven't really hit the.
Well, actually, I think we always tried to stay PG-13. You know.
Yeah. Well, sometimes we didn't make it.
Because of our age group. Yeah.
Sometimes we didn't make it. Especially if we had a guest that was going to really tee us off real bad, I'd let them have it. But you know, well, we're getting close to an hour here now.
Well, actually, I want to just kind of bring it all into a head and see exactly what you're doing now, Star, because I know you started a, what is it? I saw it on Facebook. I actually shared it through the group, and I followed your page as well. Your medicine pouches?
Oh, yeah. Remember the Native American medicine pouch I always wear?
Yeah.
I've always got people asking me if I'll, you know, make them, and normally I just made plain bags that had no herbs or anything in it. You were supposed to fill it yourself, but I've got people who want magical bags, you know, want them already pre-made for them. And so I think I just changed the name of the group to Amulets Made, you know, Magical Amulets, because it's not just going to be my bags. It's going to be like little mojo bags also. Jewelry that I make that has a certain, you know, that's an amulet, you know, stones.
Hmm.
So that's what I'm working on, because I'm always trying, you know, to make a little money, because, you know, I don't make a lot, and it's to supplement, you know, I do readings, tarot card readings.
This is all on Facebook.
Yeah. I've got a Facebook page, Amulets by Evening Star. Magical Amulets Made by Evening Star.
Yeah. Now, if you go to the Night Stalker Facebook page, I have shared that ad. I put it up so that it was seen, and you know, you can ship those anywhere. So that doesn't matter if you're in the North Carolina area or not. You can ship them anywhere. Now, if one of the people who happen to be listening to this, of course, this won't be out for about a week or two. It may be 2 weeks. I'm thinking, again, don't really like, you know, same, but this is the 25th. We're recording this on the 25th, and I do have a couple other people. If we can get one of them recorded, I would like to have it out as soon as possible. I've already started talking about her. But you do tarot readings at the Juggling Gypsy, which if you're in the Wilmington, North Carolina area, you know where the Juggling Gypsy is. I mean, it's easy to find, but what days are you there?
I'm there on Tuesdays and Thursdays from 5 p.m. to about 11 o'clock at night. Unless a bunch of people come in, then I'll stay later. But I also do readings by phone now, at least for people in the United States. I can't call outside the United States right now yet because I don't have the money for that yet. But I do readings by phone, tarot readings plus intuitive readings. And I charge, it's like a 45-minute phone call, just $20.
Okay. And all of that can be, the information for that, can that be found in your Facebook group or?
It's readings by star or something like that. I'll put it over there on the parent, you know, I'll get it to you and put it on the other website. Okay. And then
make links for it too, so it's easy to find.
Yeah. And then I'm an artist, you know, I take trash and turn it into something pretty to hang up, you know. Like when I'm making a painting, I don't buy canvas, I use, you know, scrap wood. And my paint is a lot of house paint that I've, you know, mixed and matched colors. So it's,
yeah.
I think I've got some mushrooms that I used. I used logs and old colorful plastic bowls that somebody was throwing out.
What kind of mushrooms are these now? And are these the kind that we can, you know, like...
No,
are they the magic mushrooms? My magical star, evening star.
Yeah, I was just thinking. You know, if you're selling those kind, you know.
No, they're just made out of plastic.
Okay. Well, I just wanted to clarify when you said you had mushrooms. I wanted to be able to know that you weren't selling the, you know, the psychedelic kind.
Selling the magic mushrooms.
No, none of that.
These are really. Really good in an omelet, but they kind of cause side effects.
On our Facebook page, yeah. I can only imagine.
I'm sorry.
I know a couple of stories here, but they're not appropriate for the show.
Yeah.
But
I know my artwork, I normally put that on Magical Evening Star, the Facebook page called Magical Evening Star. And magical is, there's a K in there added after the C. M-A-G-I-C-K-A-L, okay. Magical. So any of my groups, that's how I spell magical.
Okay. And it's like I said, before this actually hits the air, when I start promoting it and doing the ad for it, I'll have a link to all of them, and it will be on Facebook, Google+, Twitter. I do it. I'm all over the place with those. Of course, for the Night Stalker, you can find us at Facebook, Paranormal Night Stalker, Twitter, at Night Stalker Pod, Google+, Paranormal Night Stalker. Of course, we're also available on iTunes, Google Play, and Podomatic. And possibly coming here in the nearer future, Stitcher, Podcast Addict, and a few other places. Basically, wherever you want to get a podcast from, we are trying to get there now. But those all take a little bit of time. And it looks like we're about out of it for today. I want to thank everyone for joining us. It has been great talking to Star again. It has been far too long. And hope this gives the Night Stalker fans a little bit of clarity about what happened with everything.
And that I didn't go anywhere. I just took a break.
that's basically all of it in a nutshell. None of us really left. We just didn't do anything. You know, we were just taking a break from it and getting back into where we could go from there.
Yeah, without internet at home, you know, this last year's been really hard on me because I have no internet at home except my cell phone. And
yeah, and that just doesn't work out well.
Nah, I can get on Facebook. Messages, I can't do any Facebook messages because you've got to have extra apps, and my phone just won't do it.